Welcome to Good News in the Morning, a program of words and music, bringing a Christian message of hope and encouragement to those who are looking for an intelligent, meaningful, and spirited approach to faith and to life.
Today, I choose to follow you. Today, I choose to give my yes to you. Today, I choose to hear your voice and live. Today, I choose to follow you.
Good morning. This program is sponsored by the Good News Christian Ministries. Box 184, Rideau Ferry, Ontario, K0G1W0. This is Pastor Juliet Schimpf speaking, and I'm minister at First Baptist Church in Perth. We're a church in the heart of Perth with a heart for Perth. I'd like to welcome you to today's broadcast, and you will quickly discover that it is relevant to you. Have you ever felt like you're not good enough to be a follower of Jesus Christ? Have you ever felt like you can't cut it to be on the God team? Have you ever felt that you've messed up so badly that surely God has overlooked you and cannot embrace you? Bottom line, have you ever felt, or do you feel right now, very discouraged? If so, today's message is for you. I want to begin with a reading from Matthew 14. Matthew 14, which is all about Jesus and Peter walking on the water. Starting from verse 22, immediately Jesus made the disciples get into the boat and go on ahead of him to the other side, while he dismissed the crowd. After he had dismissed them, he went up on a mountainside by himself to pray. When evening came, he was there alone, but the boat was already a considerable distance from land, buffeted by the waves because the wind was against it. During the fourth watch of the night, Jesus went out to them, walking on the lake. When the disciples saw him walking on the lake, they were terrified. "It's a ghost," they said, and they cried out in fear. But Jesus immediately said to them, "Take courage, it is I. Do not be afraid." "Lord, if it's you," Peter replied, "tell me to come to you on the water." "Come," Jesus said. Then Peter got out of the boat, walked on the water, and came toward Jesus. But when Peter saw the wind, he became afraid and, beginning to sink, cried out, "Lord, save me." Immediately Jesus reached out his hand and caught Peter. "Oh, you of little faith," he said, "why did you doubt?" And when they climbed into the boat, the wind died down. Then those who were in the boat worshiped Jesus Christ, saying, "Truly, you are the Son of God." Friends, we're going to start to examine this text in just a few moments, but first, let's listen to a classic hymn, "Thine Be the Glory."
Thank you.
Welcome back. Today we're looking at what to do when we feel discouraged. We just listened to a passage from the Holy Bible, namely from Matthew 14, and we saw that Peter got out of the boat and walked on water. But then he became discouraged and began to sink. I wonder if any of you right now feel like you're sinking in the waves of life. I wonder if any of you listeners right now wish that you were like Peter and had all the faith in the world to get out of the boat and walk on the water. Well, what gave Peter that faith and what gave him that confidence? To understand this confidence of Peter, we need to understand the context of being a disciple in the day of Jesus Christ. You see, Jesus was a rabbi, and we want to first understand what it took to follow a rabbi. In the first century Jewish world, there were disciples who followed rabbis. But it began much earlier in a young Jewish boy's life. Basically, all Jewish boys would start studying the Torah at the first level of school called Beit Sefer. And this level of schooling, Beit Sefer, would last until the child is 10 years old. And in this level of schooling, all Jewish boys would learn the Torah by heart. That means by memory, they could recite Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, and Deuteronomy. That's quite a tall feat. Well, after children learned these five books by heart, the very best of the best students would keep on going in school, and they would go on to the second level of schooling called Beit Talmud. In Beit Talmud, the students would then memorize the rest of the Hebrew scriptures. That's right, every single book in the Old Testament from Genesis through Malachi. Now, any student that couldn't cut it and couldn't learn these books would drop out of school and would begin to learn the family trade of fishing or weaving or carpentry. But the best of the best learned every word of the Old Testament scripture by heart, and this would last from about age 11 through 15. Now, at the end of age 15, the very best of the best of the best would continue on to the third level of education called Beit Midrash. And at this level, the student would find a rabbi and apply to become that rabbi's disciple. And at this level, the student would come up to a rabbi and say, "I want to know what you know. I want to be like you." Now, what would happen is the rabbi would then test the student, asking for one interpretation of a text and then another interpretation of a text. And basically, each rabbi's set of interpretations was that rabbi's yoke. And so we developed that phrase over time that a student would take his rabbi's yoke upon him, or that rabbi's interpretation upon him. Well, essentially, the rabbi would grill the student to see, does this kid have what it takes? Can this disciple follow me? And so the rabbi had one of two choices. Either he would say, "Yes, you can follow me. You can be my disciple." In which case he would say, "Come, follow me." And that student would then leave his family, leave his friends, leave everything he knew to follow the rabbi. Or the rabbi would say, "You don't quite have it. You don't have what it takes. You need to return to your family life and follow your parents' trade." Well, let's come back to the passage we read earlier today. What is it that caused Peter to say, "I'm going to follow you, Jesus, out of the boat. I'm going to walk on the water just like you"? Where does that confidence come from? Well, if you think about Jesus Christ's disciples, what were they doing when Jesus called them and said, "Come, follow me"? They were actually fishermen. Do you know what that means, ladies and gentlemen? That means that they weren't the best students. It means that they didn't make it all the way through to Beit Midrash. It means that they didn't have what it took to follow a rabbi. It means they were unacceptable in society's eyes in the academic system. What it means is that Jesus called the B team. He went and systematically found disciples who were actually just doing everyday trades. And that's why they dropped their nets so quickly to follow Jesus Christ. They had been chosen by the greatest rabbi of all time. We're going to learn a little bit more about this in a few moments, but we're going to pause right now with an inspirational song called Climb Every Mountain. Welcome back. We've been looking at the fact that Jesus Christ was no ordinary rabbi because he called no ordinary disciples. He actually called what we would put the B team. He called people like Peter and Andrew, who were fishermen, and he told them to drop their nets and come follow him. James and John, these were unschooled fishermen who were probably 15, 16 years old. And we saw in a few moments ago that they couldn't quite cut it in the academic system. But Jesus called them anyway, and it is because they were so excited to be called by a rabbi that they dropped their nets immediately. So let's come back to the passage we opened with in Matthew 14. Here we have a boat full of anybody's, and a storm arises, and these disciples are terrified. But then he sees his rabbi on the water, and he wants to be like his rabbi. And so he says, if it's you, Jesus, tell me to come to you. He said this because he's a disciple, and he's devoted his whole life to becoming like his rabbi. Well, as you know, Peter walked on the water, but then he began to sink. Have you ever wondered why? Now, Jesus says, you have little faith, why did you doubt? And often we interpret that to mean that Peter lacked faith in Jesus Christ. But friends, Jesus was not sinking. Peter didn't actually doubt Jesus in that moment. He doubted himself. He doubted that he could be like his rabbi. But you see, Jesus wouldn't have called Peter to walk on the water if he didn't think he could do it. And the rabbi doesn't choose you and me unless he thinks we can do what he does. Peter had lost his faith in himself, but listen to John 15, the words of Jesus Christ. You did not choose me, but I chose you, and I appointed you to go and bear fruit, fruit that will last. Then the Father will give you whatever you ask in my name. Friends, Jesus Christ has chosen you. So often in the church, we talk about believing in God, but today I want to declare boldly and clearly that God believes in you. He must believe in you and me. After all, he left the church in our hands, just like he believed in those early disciples. He left the church in their hands, and he worked through them, and sometimes he worked despite them. But he said to them, go and make disciples, and that they did, taking the church to the ends of the earth. So Jesus really does believe that we can be his disciples and that we can be like him. He has faith in us, and that is meant to encourage you today. Perhaps you think that God couldn't use you because you're too weak. But recall, the scripture says that when you are weak, then God can be strong. Perhaps you think that you've messed up too badly, but in Jesus Christ, the scripture says there is no condemnation. Perhaps you think you're just not good enough, and yet God says, lo, I am with you, I will never leave you nor forsake you. I am at work in you. And as Colossians says, it is Christ in us, the hope of glory. Friends, I don't want you to be discouraged today. I want you to be encouraged. You see, the devil's greatest tool is discouragement, and I have a little story from Max Lucado just about this. It was announced that the devil was going out of business one day, and all of his tools were on sale, to everyone's dismay. On the night of the sale, there they were, all displayed, all ugly indeed, on a table they laid. All implements of evil, each one with a price. They were made for keeping Christians out of the coming paradise. But apart from all the rest lay a harmless-looking tool. Anyone buying it would surely be a fool. It was shaped like a wedge and worn very badly, because it had been used over many years, gradually. But even so, it was priced much higher than the rest. When the devil was asked why, he said, it's my very best. This tool is named discouragement. You see, this tool is very valuable to me. It has been more useful to me than all the others. I can use it on most of your sisters and brothers. I can use it to get deep down into one's mind. Discouragement, a worse tool you'll not find. And you know, said the devil with an expression of glee, very few people know that it actually belongs to me. It hardly needs to be added. That tool was never sold. The price was too high. One would think it was gold. So, you faithful witnesses, remember this then. The devil still owns it and will use it again. But if you trust in Jehovah, discouragement you'll foil. It can't get you down if you remain loyal. I want to encourage you today that just as Christ called those early disciples, the B team, he is calling us. He is calling you. You can never mess up too badly. You can never fall too short. Christ is calling you and wants to use you today. Let's pray together. Our gracious Father, we thank you that in the words of John 15, you chose us. We did not choose you, but you chose us. And you appointed us to go and bear fruit. I pray for the listener who's been feeling discouraged. I pray for the listener who has lost faith, either in you or perhaps even in themselves. And I pray they'd take encouragement from today's message, that you have faith in us. That you have faith in us and that you have called us for such a time as this to share your love, to share your truth, to be your disciple. Lord, touch each listener now with fresh hope, fresh courage, and fresh optimism. For optimism is the stuff of faith. We will do our very best to be your disciple. We love you, O great Rabbi. Amen. Friends, thank you so much for joining us this morning on Good News Christian Ministries. In a moment, we're going to listen to a beautiful song, but I want to leave you with a saying that developed over the centuries. There was a saying amongst rabbis and disciples, which had everything to do with following closely. The saying was, "May you be covered in the dust of your rabbi." What that means is, may you walk so closely behind your rabbi that you, the disciple, will be covered in his dust. My prayer for you this day is that you will walk so closely, so intimately to your rabbi, Jesus Christ, that you will be covered in his dust. The dust of his presence, the dust of his word, the dust of his love. Our closing song is "The Wind Beneath My Wings." God bless you all.
It must have been cold there in my shadow to never have sunlight on your face. You were content to let me shine that your way. You always walked a step behind. So I was the one with all the glory, while you were the one with all the strength. A beautiful face without a name for so long. A beautiful smile to hide the pain. Did you ever know that you're my hero? And everything I would like to be. I can fly higher than an eagle. You are the wind beneath my wings.
It might have appeared to go unnoticed, but I've got it all here in my heart.
I want you to know, I know the truth, of course I know. I would be nothing without you.
Did you ever know that you're my hero? And everything I would like to be. I can fly higher.
Good News in the Morning is produced in the studio.